Hey, this morning we're starting a new series called Strong, and it's called Courage Over Fear. Strong, Courage Over Fear. And this series is the perfect complement to Chase the Lion. Because here's the thing, when you are chasing God-sized dreams in your life, there will be some fears that try to creep their way in, right? I mean, that's just the obvious. Satan is going to do all he can to stop you from chasing those God-sized dreams. And in order to continue to chase after those dreams, you're going to have to be strong, right? And you're going to have to be courageous. Eddie Rickenbacker, in his book Bits and Pieces, says this, "Courage is doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared." I want to be courageous. I want to have courage. I just don't want to be scared, right? Right? I don't want to be scared. I just don't want to be put in a position where I'm fearful, but I want to have courage. Monica Dickens, in her book Miracles of Courage, tells a story of a boy named David. David, a two-year-old with leukemia, was taken by his mother, Deborah, to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston to see Dr. John Truman, who specializes in treating children with cancer and various blood diseases. Dr. Truman's prognosis was devastating. He has a 50-50 chance. The countless clinic visits, the blood tests, the intravenous drugs, the fear and pain, the mother's ordeal can be almost as bad as the child's because she must stand by, unable to bear the pain herself. David never cried in the waiting room, and although his friends in the clinic had to hurt him and stick needles in him, he hustled in ahead of his mother with a smile, sure of the welcome he always got. When he was 3, David had to have a spinal tap, a painful procedure at any age. It was explained to him that because he was sick, Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. "If it hurts, remember it's because he loves you," Deborah said. The procedure was horrendous. It took 3 nurses to hold David still while he yelled and sobbed and struggled. 3 years old, I can only imagine. When it was almost over, the tiny boy, soaked in sweat and tears, looked up at the doctor and gasped, "Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting." Another story I read this week was a man named Ray Blankenship. One summer morning, as Ray Blankenship was preparing his breakfast, he gazed out of the window and saw a small girl being swept along the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Blankenship knew that farther downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath a road and then emptied into a main culvert. Ray dashed out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the foundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. Blankenship surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled end over end. Within about 3 feet of the yawning culvert, Ray's free hand felt something, possibly a rock, protruding from one bank. He clung desperately, but the tremendous force of the water tried to tear him and the child away. "If I can just hang on until help comes," he thought. He did better than that. By the time the fire department rescuers arrived, Blankenship had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. On April 12, 1989, Ray was awarded the Coast Guard Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award is fitting for this selfless person, was at even greater risk to himself than most people knew. Ray can't swim. There can be no courage apart from fear. There is no strength apart from difficulties. We're going to be hanging out in the book of Joshua for this series. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and open up to Joshua. And we're going to start in chapter 1. And the overall kind of verse for this series, the theme verse for this series is going to be Joshua 1:9. And it says this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Every time I read that verse, my kids have a song that they sing from one of the vacation Bible schools that they attend, and it says that For God is with me wherever I go. And every time I read that, I hear my kids singing that song. And it's such a good verse to learn very early on. The Lord will be with you wherever you go. Look, I know when you're chasing these huge dreams, it can be terrifying. When things in life just aren't going how you thought or hoped they would, it can be very discouraging. But the command here is for you to be strong and courageous, right? Don't be terrified by this mountain in front of you. Don't be discouraged because the plans aren't happening how you would like. The Lord, your God, will be right there with you wherever you go. Now I get it. Easier said than done, right? Easier said than done. Here's the thing I hope everyone realizes through this message today. Courage to obey God in the present is fueled by reflecting on what he's done in the past through Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Courage to obey God in the present is fueled by reflecting on what he's done in the past through Jesus Christ. Joshua 1:9 is where we're at this morning. And it goes like this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, poor guy, must not have any parents. That's an old Bible joke. That's a good one. Should I do the dun-dun-dun-tsh like I did last week? All right, anyways. Son of Nun, Moses' aide. Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. To the Israelites. Let me, I'm going to stop right there real quick. So here's what's going on. The Israelites have been wandering in the desert for 40 years, right? On their way to the promised land, this land that God had promised them. They're on their way. They took a slight 40-year detour, but they're getting there. Now, during their trip, they had several bumps along the way, and you can read about that. And at various times, the people of Israel stopped trusting God and reverted back to their old ways. And now we see that Moses has died, and now God reveals his plan to Joshua so that he can fulfill them. Which is, here's a little side note for you. You not obeying God and chasing your dreams does not mean that God's plan stop. You follow me? He will just use someone else to complete them, right? And you will miss out on being a part of something amazing. That was free this morning. You can take that with you in your pocket. That's just a little side note, and that was a good side note. I mean, that was good stuff. But you not doing what God's called you to do isn't going to hurt God any. It's going to hurt yourself. It's going to hurt your spirit. God will complete his plan no matter what. No matter what. So God tells Joshua the plan. Let's read the plan. God tells Joshua the plan. Pick up in verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So he tells them the plan, right? He tells Joshua the plan. God had commissioned Joshua to achieve three things in this passage. And the first one was to what? Lead the people into the promised land, right? Verses 3 through 4. I will give you every place where you set foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. I'm going to give you all this land, Joshua. As I promised, you just got to lead the people. Moses is gone. Now it's your time to shine. Your turn to step up. Take these people and lead them, right? The second thing is defeat the enemy. Defeat the enemy, verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So let me get this straight. You're saying I'm going to lead these people into this so-called promised land, and that was fine with me, but now you're saying that there are people in the promised land that aren't going to be happy we're stomping on their ground, and we're going to have to fight them? God didn't even let Joshua give excuses, you follow me? Like, he didn't even let him get excuses. He tells him, hey, don't worry. Don't worry about the difficulties you're going to come up against. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't worry about that. He didn't even give him a chance. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to desert you. I'll be right there with you. And if God is for you, then who could be against you, right? The third one is claim the inheritance. 6-8, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Claim the inheritance. Now, if I was Joshua, I probably would have tried to convince God to skip over number 2, right? Go straight to 3. Anybody else with me? Hey, God, can we just skip over that whole defeat the enemy? Seems like lead the promised land, lead into the promised land and claim the inheritance is fine by me, right? Don't we try and do that in our lives, though? Hey, God, can we just skip over this hard times? I just want the good stuff. Just give me the good stuff. Come on, God. Give me the good stuff. I want the inheritance, God, but I don't want to be stretched. I don't want to be uncomfortable. And I surely don't want to face difficulties and fear. But God's directive is pretty clear, is it not? In order to gain the inheritance he has promised, there will be difficulties and there will be situations that you will face where the outcome may be unknown and it may bring some fear. But you must be strong and courageous. And that's what he's saying to Joshua here. Hey, you're going to come up against some times that you might know what's going to happen, but I'm with you wherever you go. Notice for a second with me about these verses. There are 3 clear objectives for Joshua to complete in this passage, right? Would you agree with me? 3 pretty clear objectives. And also in this passage, God says to Joshua 3 times, be strong and courageous. Actually, one point he says, be strong and very courageous, right? Do you think that's an accident? Or do you think that for every objective God was telling Joshua, hey, these 3 things aren't going to come easy? I'm just letting you know they will be difficult. I mean, these people have been trying to get to the promised land for 40 years, Joshua. You think they have difficult times? I'm just letting you know that's going to be right up front. It's going to be difficult. But if you remain strong and courageous and rely on me because I will be right there with you, you will get through it. To Joshua and the Israelites, these 3 things may seem daunting. Heck, they may even seem impossible. And they very well may be impossible for them, right? You see, in order for these 3 objectives to be accomplished, Joshua and the Israelites must trust God through the entire process. Through the entire process. God-sized dreams are what? Beyond your abilities? and beyond your resources, and unless God does it, it can't be done. Which brings me to a question this morning. The question is this: has God called you to serve him in a way that seems impossible? Has God called you to serve him in a way that seems impossible? And get this, the minute we hear the word impossible, we're done, right? Like, we are literally done. Oh, he just said impossible. I'm not even going to try that, because that's impossible now. We throw in the towel right from the beginning. Henry Ford didn't hear the word impossible. Henry Ford once came up with a revolutionary plan for a new kind of engine, which we know today as the V8. Ford was eager to get his great new idea into production. He had some men draw up the plans, and he presented them to the engineers. As the engineers studied the drawings one by one, they came to the same conclusion. Their visionary boss just didn't know much about the fundamental principles of engineering. He'd have to be told gently his dream was impossible. Ford said, "Produce it anyway." They replied, "But it's impossible." "Go ahead," Ford commanded, "and stay on the job until you succeed, no matter how much time is required." For 6 months, they struggled with drawing after drawing, design after design, nothing. After 6 months, nothing. At the end of the year, Ford checked with his engineers, and they once again told him that what he wanted was impossible. Ford told them to keep going, and they did. And they discovered how to build a V8 engine. You must place your trust in God if you want to accomplish his will. The courage to obey God in the present is fueled by reflecting on what he's done in the past through Jesus Christ. If you want courage to face impossible situations and dreams in your life currently, then look back in your life and remember all that God has done for you in the past. That's the fuel to your courage fire. And yes, it may be little things here and little things there, little blessings from God, little hints that God is right there, little passes that God makes at you. But once all those are pieced together and you step back and look at the bigger picture, man, it's like this huge, amazing altar of God's blessings in your life. You see this ginormous picture of all that God has done in your life. The problem we have is what I would like to call the Dory syndrome. Take a look at this clip.
I suffer from short-term memory loss.
Yeah! That's exactly what you say.
Okay. We'll pretend to be the other kids now.
Hi, Dory!
Ahoy there! Do you want to play hide and seek?
Okay.
We'll hide, and you count and come find us.
Okay, Daddy.
No, not Daddy. I'm the nice fish who wants to be your friend. Okay?
Okay, Daddy.
No.
I'm hiding.
Now count to 10.
1, 2, 3, 4. I like sand. Sand is squishy. Mommy, can I go play with them?
Dory?
You see, the problem is that it isn't that God isn't doing anything in your life. It's not that God isn't working in your life, and so you can't have the courage for his plans because he has never shown up any time previously in your life. The problem is we suffer from short-term memory loss. Can't do it as cute as that little girl's voice. I mean, every time I watch that clip, I'm like, oh, it's so cute. We suffer from short-term memory loss, don't we? The Israelites had the same problem. Remember their journey through the wilderness? 40 years, who could forget, right? It became very apparent that they had terrible short-term memory. God says he wants to free the Hebrew people from Egypt. How could he possibly do that? He sends 10 plagues, right? God says he wants to, later on, when they're free, they come to the Red Sea. Looks like a dead end. How could God possibly take them any further? Well, he parts the Red Sea, right? Not long after this, the people are in the wilderness and they have no food, so they complain about God not taking care of them. God's response? He literally drops food from the sky. How could you continue to doubt God after seeing all these miraculous provisions? How will God take care of you? The same way he did the last time. The problem is, we just forget the last time and all the many times before that. The character Dory in the movie Finding Dory is kind of like how the Israelites were with God. Short-term memory loss. They just simply forgot all the blessings that God had done for them in the past to get them to the point they were at. And the same is true for you and I. How often do you forget the work of God in your life? Trust in God. Trust in God when it boils down to it is remembering his provisions in the past. Well, God, if I'm going to trust you, you know, you did this previously before me, and you did this previously before me, and you did this previously before me, so why wouldn't you do this for me now? Although it may not be in my timeline, I trust you. And that's where we find the courage and the strength to chase the lions in our lives today. Chase these God-sized dreams in our lives today. Be strong and courageous. Paul seems to echo these same words in Romans. If you have your Bibles, flip over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, it's there on the screen too, verses 31 through 39. Says then this, what then shall we say in response to this? Okay, what are we saying in response to? Well, if you back up, verse 28, and he says, Paul says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So God works in all things to those who love him and been called according to his purpose. Okay, then. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And we talked about this verse at the beginning, back in January. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? So I'm going to get all things. Nobody can bring any charges against me. It is God who justifies, so God's justifying me. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. He didn't just die, he was raised to life, and is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. He's on our side, he's on our team. He's working for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I don't know, who? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are what? We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be strong and courageous. Because if God is for us, who can be against us, right? God is on your side. God is with you in your difficulties. God is with you in the valley just as much as he's with you in the mountaintop. He's right there beside you. So be strong and courageous. And you get that courage from looking back at all God has done previously in your life, right? I've heard of families that have a Thanksgiving jar in their house. And every day these people write down on a piece of paper how God provided for them that day. And at the end of the week as a family, they read through each of those pieces of paper. How would your outlook on life change if you stopped focusing on what you don't have and instead focused on what you do have? All that God has provided for you. God's grace surpasses all we could hope for, but we often forget his work in our lives. We just plain forget. We forget just the stinking last blessing he gave us yesterday. And we're over here going, God, woe is me. Woe is me. You never show up in your life, and God's like, I was just there yesterday. I'm there right now. Open your eyes. Focus on me instead of focusing on your situation, right? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father God, we thank you for those words. We thank you that no matter what we go through in life, you are right there with us, wherever we go. And that means even if we tend to start walking away from you and we have our back towards you, if we would turn around, you would be there right behind us. That's encouraging to know. You are such a good, good Father who looks out for us and blesses us beyond belief. Father, in times where, we're almost so selfish in times in our lives and we're saying, God, where are you? And God's like, man, I'm right there with you and I've been there previously. Father, help us to look back. And in the times that we're struggling and saying, God, where are you? I don't feel like you're right there with me. And there are times that we're going to have those in our lives, and that's okay. But help us to look back. Help us to turn around and look back on where we've gotten, where we've come from, and see all the blessings in our lives and where you've brought us through and the things that you've protected us from. And to be able to say in those hard times and those instances that we're in right now, saying, okay, I can be strong and I can be courageous. I got my eyes pointed towards God and I know he's right there with me. And while this may be a hard situation and a hard time in my life, I'm going to look back at all the blessings that he's done for me and everything he's done for me, and I'm going to realize that in this point right now, God has an awesome plan ahead. And while it might not be in my timing, I know that amazing's on the way. And I can be strong and courageous in this point right now because I'm looking back on all that God has done for me in the past and I've got my eyes on God pointed towards the future. Father, when these God-sized dreams that you call us to in our lives, Father, help us to have the courage and strength to step out and do what you've called us to do. Yes, it's fearful, and yes, some bad things could happen, but the safest place to be is in the center of your will. We can't have courage, and we can't have strength apart from fear and difficulties. Help us to realize that, and when those fear and difficulties come, help us realizing that you're just doing something, about to do something amazing in our lives. Father, we thank you for everything you're doing within us in the life of this church. And Father, we just pray that we can be strong and courageous. And when Satan tries to creep his way into this place and tries to do things to throw us off track, we can say, God is with me. God is with us right here, wherever we go. And when we get to a point where it feels like we're kind of at a Red Sea point, we're going, okay, God, what do we do now? You part the Red Sea so we can walk right through on dry ground. Father, we love you and we thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.